Hello, everybody. I hope you're all well and welcome back to the Jordan Teresa podcast. Some of you guys may be wondering, you promised that you were going to be back and then you disappeared for 5 months. Well, I can actually explain myself. I am not going to get too into it just because I don't really want to talk about it that much, to be honest. But basically, in sort of January, February, I pretty much hit my rock bottom when it comes to like my mental health. Like I was having just the worst time I have ever had. Some of you guys know this, but I don't know how many of you do. I suffer with quite badly with OCD, and it was sort of at that point in January to around April that it had just like completely taken over my life. And I did actually start private therapy in February, and I'm making a lot of improvement. I feel like weird even saying it, just in case I jinx it. Touch wood, literally touch all the pieces of wood. But anyways, I had wanted to get back to my podcast for a while, but one thing about sort of mental health and when you start to get better is that you don't want to overload yourself. Like you want to treat mental health like it's similarly to your physical health. Like if you broke your leg, the day you get your cast off, you're not going to go on a 25-mile run, are you? Like that's just stupid. I mean, can you do that? I'm not a doctor. I don't know, I feel like that sounds like a bad idea. Anyways, so I really wanted to sort of slowly build up my workload, and I've been a lot more consistent on my channel, I feel like. Yeah, no, so I feel like now is just the perfect time to get back to my podcast. The plan is that I'm going to be uploading new episodes every Tuesday, which I'm very, very excited about. Obviously, there will be a few breaks here and there. There'll probably be like a 1 week break at the end of this month / the beginning of next month because I'm moving, and literally moving is the worst thing in the entire world. I mean, I know I was about to say I wish I could pay someone to do it, but I guess like that's what movers are for. But movers can't just pack up all your stuff and organize it all for you and then unpack it the way that you like it, you know? But you know, that's actually not a bad idea for like a service. Movers that do all your stuff for you. But I don't know, that sounds more stressful actually. Sorries, babes. I have had the most whirlwind, chaotic day. So I uploaded my video about misogyny in this year's Love Island, and the video was sponsored by an amazing company called Cheeks, and it was all monetized, everything was all good. And then I woke up the next morning, well this morning, to see that it was not demonetized, to see it was age restricted, which I'm not gonna lie is like basic really, really bad news. Like it cuts the views in half because a lot of people who watch my channel are under the age of 18, and also a lot of people who are over age 18, they don't want to have to show a form of their ID to prove that they're that age. So already I was like, oh my god. And then a couple hours later it got demonetized, and I was like, oh my god, because I worked quite hard in this video. And you know what? It's not even about the money, genuinely, because the video was sponsored. Again, very luckily my video was sponsored, and I'm very grateful for that. It was more just like when a video gets age restricted and then demonetized, it basically just does not get put into anyone's suggested, which means that it just the reach goes completely down. And it was such a shame because I was really, really proud of the video. It was on a very current topic, and I want my channel to grow. I want to hit 400,000 subscribers. I want to hit 400,000 subscribers. So I was like really, really miffed about it. But I was like, you know what? Like I got frustrated in the morning. I can't remember whether I cried or not. I probably did. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to move on. I'm going to get on with my day. So I record a podcast episode. And as you guys can tell, because I'm re-recording it, clearly it didn't go well. I went to go and edit it after me and Lem went to the supermarket. Guys, we're going to have camembert. We have a loaf of sourdough. We're going to cut a hole in the sourdough and put camembert in it and then cover the bread in garlic butter and cheese. It's literally going to be the most amazing experience of my life. Anyways, I'm actually going to film it for my TikTok. So follow me on TikTok, Jordan A. Teresa. And basically, I went to go edit it and something had gone wrong with the audio. I don't know whether it was the sort of thing I recorded it on. I used voice memos instead of QuickTime Player, or whether it was a problem with my microphone. I don't know. But basically for about 20 minutes of the podcast, I sound like an alien. And it got to the point where I'd had such a bad day already. I was like, I don't even have, there's no tears left. In the words of Ariana Grande, no tears left to cry. Like, I was just like, oh my God, like, no way. I literally can't believe this. And I was so over it. Like, I was so deflated. That's how I felt. I felt deflated. I felt unmotivated. I felt like, wow, I've tried to, you know, get my shit together and podcast and post videos, and both of them have gone wrong. Anyways, so there's actually an option on YouTube if your video gets age restricted that you can actually appeal it. And there's usually that option if a video is demonetized, but it said that it had been manually reviewed and demonetized. So that's why I didn't bother appealing the age restriction for ages. Also, because when I posted a lot about it on my story, a couple of my YouTube mutuals reached out and said like, yeah, no, trying to get an age restriction taken off is really, really hard. So I thought I was done for, but I was like, you know what? I feel very, very passionately. Sorry, I keep hitting my microphone. I feel very, very passionately about this. So I appealed the age restriction and I put like this, it was such a Karen-esque message. Basically like, you guys don't support creators at all. I haven't broken any community guidelines. I said something about how, because basically the real kicker is that YouTube takes a 50% cut of all ad revenue, which is a very, very large amount for a social media site. I think OnlyFans takes about 30% for comparison. So they take a massive, massive chunk. And I don't know where this money is going, because they aren't using it for creator support or anything like that. So, or like getting a better algorithm. So I said this thing, I was like, you take 50% of my revenue and I get no support. Anyway, guys, I got a response within half an hour. I was just like, what the fuck? Like, because usually if a video is demonetized and you appeal it, it takes about 12 hours for them to get back to you. I was like, oh my God, oh my God. And guess what, guys? They took the age restriction off and they monetized it again. My jaw is literally on the floor right now, you guys. You just had to be there. It was like an ecstatic moment. I was like, what is going on outside? Is someone driving a tractor? Sorry, there is someone on a motorbike / tractor and it's very, very loud and annoying. What is that? Can you hear that, Lem? So already... Well, I've completely now, great, now I've lost my train of thought. Basically, you just had to be there. It was like, I was in the pit. Oh my God. What the fuck? Oh my God. I'm not sure whether the mic is going to pick that up. But there was just this motorbike, which was just going, the engine was going outside for ages. Sorry, can you tell that I'm a little bit delirious? I went from like the lowest low, like guys, it was the pits. It was the absolute pits. I had eaten nearly an entire packet of Jammy Dodgers because I felt sorry for myself. Like it was so, so bad for me. And then all of a sudden I was on this high. I cannot believe that they took the age restriction off. I can't, and monetized it again. Oh my God. So that's what happened with my day. So hopefully we'll finish it on a high and this episode will go well and my microphone won't glitch out or anything. I'm literally, guys, I'm terrified to even touch anything around me in case it messes up the microphone. Like, absolutely, truly terrified. So if you guys listened to my last episode, you would know that I sort of do these little warmy up things. Just sort of get the ball rolling, get the conversation going as if I haven't already been talking for nearly 10 minutes. So I always start out with TV show I'm watching, song I'm listening to, and book I'm reading. So TV show I'm watching. First one is obviously Love Island, but I'm going to be honest, I am not after watching 2 months of Love Island and also making a video about Love Island and then having to edit Love Island for nearly like, what's 48 plus 24? 72. Lem's upstairs. 72 hours. I am like fully have Love Island fatigue. I am Love Islanded out. Like, do not even go near me with any sort of Love Island information. I am going to watch the final, but if Gemma and Luca come any other place than fourth, I am switching my laptop off. I'm tuning out. I'm done. Anyways, so, and another TV show I'm watching, oh my gosh, I started watching The Boys. I think Lem recommended it to me ages ago, but instead we decided to watch Invincible because I can only really handle one sort of superhero franchise at a time, and he loves Marvel as well, so you know, it's a bit of an overload sometimes. I get a little bit overwhelmed. There's too many men in spandex suits to remember. But yeah, no, I started watching The Boys, and it is literally one of the best TV shows I've ever watched in my life. I'd actually love to make a whole episode about it. Oh my gosh, sorry guys, I just clanged my table. I'd love to make a whole episode about it, and maybe I'd get Lem on as well. Or maybe I'd go on Lem's podcast to talk about it. That would actually make a lot more sense. Anyways, I started watching The Boys, and basically it's about superheroes, but it's about like all of these superheroes are a part of a company. And the company is basically meant to be like, I don't know if the allegory is the right term or like a... It's basically the company is meant to be like Disney or Amazon, where like it's really, really corrupt and there's so much corruption in it. And they basically like turn these superheroes, like they basically get them copyrighted and turned into brands. And it's so, so interesting. Like, even though it's not real, it feels real. Like, if superheroes existed, this is what it would be like. So I'm really, really enjoying it. Huey can absolutely well and truly choke. I do not like that man. I know he's meant to be like, I guess he's the protagonist, isn't he? Don't like him at all. If you don't want The Boys spoilers, then please skip forward. But basically, Huey's girlfriend dies, and then he asks Starlight out on a date 4 days after his girlfriend died. Like, what is your problem? Like, did you even like your girlfriend in the first? It makes me fuming. And he keeps having these like flashbacks and hallucinations that his girlfriend's watching him whilst he's hanging out with Starlight. I'm like, good, good. You should feel bad. Your girlfriend died his girlfriend died like 2 weeks ago, and then he slept with Starlight. You know, guys, the absolute audacity of men is unreal. The audacity of man. For real. And then the song I'm listening to A Pearl by Mitski. For all my Mitski girls out there, I literally love her so much. And I actually discovered the song on TikTok. I know you guys are gonna judge me. I don't think Mitski's music is like TikTok music. I don't want to like boil down her music to TikTok music. Not like TikTok music is a bad term, but yeah, no, so I really like that song. But then I realized that I've actually discovered like, I'd probably say 70% of the music that's on my playlist from TikTok. Sorry guys, TikTok has good taste in music. Anyways, and the book I'm actually reading no books at the moment, because when I had my mental breakdown, I really fell off with reading, and then it's really hard for me to get back into reading because I already really struggle to read, like concentrating, I literally cannot do it. Oh, sorry you guys, I'm actually suffering again. To go on another tangent, and we haven't even gotten into the subject of today's video, my flat is like actually a life-size oven. Like, I cannot even describe how hot my flat gets. There was one point where, because it's like a maisonette, me and Lem couldn't sleep upstairs because it was so hot, and we had to sleep on the living room floor for 5 days in a row. Like, it's actually the pits, you guys. Obviously, I'm grateful. It was great in the winter and the spring and the autumn, but for the summer, it's just not it. But we're moving in a month, so it's all good. Anyways, so today's subject of the video, we're actually going to be talking about not going to university, because I was one of my only friends that didn't go to uni, and I'm still one of like the only people that I know that didn't go to uni. And I feel like it's something which is really interesting to talk about, because a majority of people go to uni in this country, a majority of young people go to uni in this country. And I think when you go to school, people always push, teachers always push teachers always push going to university, when, you know, there are other options. But also on the other hand, a lot of YouTubers don't actually go to uni, but then they will spread the message, not all of them, but some of them will sort of spread this message that like, you don't need to go to uni, it will all be fine. Basically, I just think it swings one way or the other. It swings either you have to go to uni, otherwise you're not going to get a good job, or it swings a complete other way and guys like, you don't need to go to uni, you can be just as successful as me. And I just don't think either of those are like very helpful, if I'm going to be honest. So I asked you guys over on my Instagram, make sure you go follow my Instagram, it's Jordan A. Teresa. I asked you guys on my Instagram for questions related to not going to uni. So the first thing I'm going to start out with is sort of why I didn't go to uni. So I didn't go to uni for the plain and simple fact that I really didn't want to. I really, really struggled in school, especially in secondary school. I really, really struggled in like an education setting. Like I just didn't really thrive in an education setting at all. And I especially remember really, really struggling in my last year of A levels. Like I literally just could not concentrate. It was really, really hard. And I am going to try and get an ADHD diagnosis, but the likelihood is that I most likely have ADHD. And that's why I struggled so much in school, which is very, very frustrating when I look back on it, because I think if I was given the resources that I really needed, then maybe things would be different and maybe I would have wanted to go to uni. A few of you guys asked what I would have done at uni if I'd gone. I remember I sort of had a little bit of interest in going to uni when I was about 17, and our school took us to like a university fair, and I was looking around and it actually seemed quite interesting. So I would have done one of two things. I would have done philosophy and ethics or something along that line. Those lines rather, because I was really good at it. I had a teacher who really, really pushed me, but like she was really, really good. And that was the only subject I've ever gotten an A, or I got an A or an I star, I can't remember, but it was the only sort of subject that I really did really, really well in. So I would have done that because I was actually quite good at that subject. Or random, I really wanted to become a midwife at one point in my life when I was like 17. I've always had like a real interest in babies and pregnancy and birth. And it's not even like I want to have children. I'm not a very maternal person. I don't think I'm ever really going to want to have kids. Literally, oh my God, the thought of like having children is like the most jarring thing. I love the thought of being pregnant, but the thought of like actually having to give birth to it and then look after it for 18 years doesn't seem very appealing to me. But so I was always really interested in birth and pregnancy, and I just find the fact that people can grow life inside of them and bring life into the world like the most amazing thing. Like I really truly believe that it's a miracle. Even though loads of people get pregnant every year and give birth every year, I still think that it is a miracle every single time. So that was something that I really, really wanted to do. And then I looked at sort of the entry requirements of any sort of midwifery courses, and a majority of them you needed a biology A level, which I didn't have. And also you need like quite good science GCSEs, or like at least passing all of your sort of triple or double science. And I don't think I have any science GCSEs. I think I might have biology, but I'm like really truly not sure. So that sort of went out the window pretty quickly, and I was just like, oh, I guess I just won't go. And I was very happy with my decision. I was very happy with not going. So the first question I'm going to answer is, how did your school react? I feel like they really push people into uni, at mine definitely. So mine wasn't that bad actually. Basically, I got into my sick form sort of, I think it was on a conditional. So I had to sort of pass my A levels to get into the next year, which I know that technically is with everyone, but a lot of the time if people don't pass, they'll let them stay for an extra year, or they'll basically just jig things around. I basically wasn't really given that leeway because I didn't do that well in my GCSEs. So I was already let in on a conditional, and I never really got like harassed about uni or asked if I was going to uni. And then when I get my first set of A level, my AS level results when I was in year 12 back, I actually did like way better than any of the teachers would have predicted. I think I got either an ABC or an ABB, which I mean, I was basically predicted C's and D's, I think. So it was a big shock to all of the teachers that I did so well. And then after that, it wasn't like super, super bad, but after that, the teachers were telling me that I should go to uni, that I should apply. I said that I didn't want to go. And basically they were like, oh, but you don't just apply and then you can defer it. And I feel like a lot of teachers say that not because they think that you're going to change your mind, but rather they say that because they want their acceptance into uni percentage to be higher, and then they can, it makes the sick form look better. But I basically dug my heels in, and then I sort of remember after I dug my heels in about it and I was like, I'm not going, like I really, really don't want to go. All of a sudden, like sort of like the head of sick form just completely lost any sort of interest in me. And it wasn't like he was that interested in my education in the first place, to be honest. But I did notice, like, he would never ask how my classes were. He just wouldn't really bother with me because I wasn't contributing to this percentage of students that got into uni. So it wasn't actually that bad in the end. But I remember one teacher was actually really supportive. My philosophy teacher, again, was like really supportive of the fact that I didn't go, which I wasn't expecting because I was doing really well in philosophy. But she basically said, like, she was like, I think she said something along the lines of like, you know, you should be really proud of yourself for taking a different path, which I actually really appreciated. I think I really needed to hear that at the time because it can just feel so uncertain when literally nearly everyone in your sixth form is going to university apart from you. Like everyone has this plan apart from you. It can be so daunting, especially you're at such a young age, 18, even though you're legally an adult, it's still such a young age. And the next question is sort of related to the last question, which is, how do you deal with judgment people give you for this choice? I never wanted to go to uni, and everyone always thinks I made a bad choice, etc. So I feel like people either come from university families or they don't come from university families. And I come from a not university family. My older sister is the only person in our entire family, I'm pretty sure, who has gone to uni and gotten a degree. No one else has gone. A lot of my family work in trade, so they value sort of getting a trade. And, you know, my mum sort of emphasized the importance of like getting a trade, which is why when I was a bit older, like in my 20s, when I was like, I think I was 20 or 21. I was 20, actually. I got qualified for all of my beautician things, so I could work freelance and not just work in the salon. God, sorry guys, I'm literally sweating so much. So I think one of the reasons why I never really wanted to go to uni was because it was never really on my radar, like at all, because no one in my family had gone and no one was really pushing me to go. So no one ever judged me for my choice or my decision. None of my friends did. Like, everyone was like really supportive and like, not even necessarily, everyone was just like not that fussed that I decided not to go. I think my dad was like not necessarily disappointed, but I think that he sort of like thinks my sister is a bit better than me because she did go to uni. I think that my dad might have this impression that I couldn't be bothered, which isn't, I mean, to be fair, I couldn't be bothered, but also I'm in my right to not be bothered to do 3 more years of education. But if you do have sort of a university family and both your parents have degrees and they really want you to go, it could be such a difficult thing to work your way around. And again, I haven't got a ton of solid advice of this on this because I have not experienced this myself. But sort of one thing which I think is useful is sort of trying to compromise with your parents. I think that compromise can be a great thing. So if you really, really don't want to go, just say to your parents, look, I'll apply for you, but I'm 100% going to take a gap year. And then basically just keep, if you end up wanting to go, you can go, you've already applied. If you don't end up wanting to go, just keep extending the gap year more and more. And who knows, you'll probably get a job in that time. You get a job somewhere where you're working your way up, and then suddenly your parents aren't fussed anymore, you know? The next question is, how did you create routine in your life without school? And how did you find your social life not going? I met most of my best friends there, / sort of dealing with loneliness when you choose not to go to uni. So I decided to put these questions together because they do link together a little bit. The best way to create routine in your life without school is to get a job. And even if it's not something that you want to be doing in the long term as a career, literally just apply for every single job that you can find. Customer service jobs, supermarkets, baristas and coffee shops are always looking for people. Even if it's just part-time, it gives you that little bit of structure and routine. When I left school, So I'd been working at Starbucks since I was 16 when I was at sixth form. And I carried on working there when I left sixth form up until the age of 19. And then I got a job in a makeup store. And that's where they trained me to be a beautician. And I was one of the beauticians in like the sort of little salon bit. So that's how it went for me, really. I stayed at Starbucks. And even though the hours were really irregular in a way where sometimes I'd be working at 5 in the morning, sometimes I'd be working till 9 at night, it still gave me a little bit of structure and routine and purpose. And more importantly, it gave me some money. Like, I had money to spend. And I feel like when you sort of have money as a young adult, when you're living at home, it gives you a bit of freedom. So I feel like getting a job is the most important thing, even if it's just a part-time job, even if it's a job where you have no desire to have it as a long-term career, just get a job if you can. It's really, really helpful for creating routine. And how it links to the other question is that the way that my social life was I definitely, I'd say the ages between 18 to 21 were some of like the loneliest years of my life. I used to really struggle to make friends, and I still struggle with my friendships now because of a whole load of unspoken issues. So I really, really struggled to make friends at the time. But one way I did make friends was I made friends at work. When I was at Starbucks, I was friends with a lot of the people there. When I became a beautician, I made so many friends at my old job. And even though I don't talk to them a lot anymore, I still consider them like friends, you know? I think the best thing about working in the salon was that we were all girls. And at one point, we were literally, nearly all of us were all best friends. So it was literally like hanging out with my best friends every day and getting paid for it. Obviously, we had to do like a load of work as well, but it was really, really fun. So just get a job, even if it's in retail, coffee shop, barista, supermarket, anything. It will give you routine and it will really help improve your social life as well. The next question I'm going to answer is, how hard was it to find work that didn't require any sort of university experience? / do you feel like your options are limited without a degree? Love you and your channel. Thank you, babes. So I feel like a lot of people who didn't go to university tend to sugarcoat what it's actually like trying to get a job without a degree. It's not like completely impossible. There are places where you can get a job and you can work your way up. I know a couple of my friends who have gotten office jobs and they've worked their way up and now they're doing really well. And it's like obviously really, really nice to see. But also it is really, really hard to get an office job without a degree. At one point when I was a beautician, I really, really wanted to work in an office. I actually wanted to become a receptionist. I thought that being a receptionist would be really, really good for me. I feel like I just give off receptionist. Like, guys, do I not just give off friendly receptionist vibes? It was so hard to find a receptionist job, and they don't even require a degree. They just require experience, and they just were not making it easy for me. Like, I couldn't find any receptionist jobs that didn't require experience. And I was like, but how am I supposed to get experience if all of the receptionist jobs require experience? But anyways, I don't know why I'm going on my receptionist ramble, but it is really hard to try and get a job without a degree. It's not impossible, but it is hard. So I think that you need to sort of weigh up your options and think about what sort of jobs you want to get into and whether a degree will be beneficial. Because even if a job application says that they don't require a degree, there could be, let's say there's 20 people applying, 18 of them will probably have degrees, if we're going to be completely honest. So definitely sort of have a proper think, because the options are limited. And obviously social media is an amazing job to get into. It doesn't require any education at all. All it requires, if you get on TikTok and Instagram, all it requires is a phone, which most people have. So social media is a great job to get into, but also it's really, really hard to break into. As much as I really do work hard and I do work my ass off and I do long hours, I also, a lot of it was just comes down to a stroke of luck. Like, I was in the right place at the right time kind of thing. When I started really getting into YouTube and video essays, it was when the pandemic happened and everyone was at home. Everyone was using YouTube because it was right before sort of TikTok really, 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 really blew up. And the algorithm was just being very, very kind to me. So my channel was able to grow and I was able to quit my job and do YouTube full time. And I'm still able to do that. I was in the right place at the right time. And unfortunately now with YouTube and with Instagram, it's now harder than ever to grow your page from zero, which is really, really unfortunate. On TikTok, it's a bit easier, but also on TikTok, it's such a sort of highly saturated app that you need to get more followers on TikTok than you would subscribers in YouTube to sort of be able to quit your job and have it as a career. And also, first of all, not everyone can become social media influencers, but also not everyone wants to. Like, I completely understand why not everyone wants to become a YouTuber or become an Instagram influencer. So I think that unfortunately, some YouTubers who don't go to uni, they sort of lay it out that there's so many other options out there. And look at me, I'm making loads of money and I didn't go to university. No one needs a university education, which is not the case at all for a lot of people. That's not the reality for a lot of people, which is unfortunate, but I feel like it is the truth. And I feel like there's absolutely no point sugarcoating it because it's just not helpful. Do you feel university is seen as a safety blanket for young people as it keeps them busy? I don't necessarily think it's seen as a safety blanket, but I definitely think it's like a good sort of transitioner into adult life. And I think that's what made it so daunting for me to go straight into work from school, was because I did not sort of have that little cushiony middle to sort of get me into adult life. But also, it's not a very like soft cushion, if you know what I mean. Like, you're living away from home, you are doing a load of work all the time. I feel like you have to write an entire dissertation, you have to be in education for 3 more years, and I couldn't imagine anything worse. So it definitely sort of is a transitioner, and I think that people can sort of shit on people that go to uni because they feel like it's their next stage in life. Like, I hear people say like, oh, you should go to uni because you want to go and you want to do the degree. And I kind of agree with that to an extent, but also like, if you want to go to uni for the experience and you want to go to uni just to get a degree so you can get an office job, I don't blame you at all. And I'd probably do the same thing if I didn't struggle in school so much. So the last question I'm going to answer to finish this off, and I think it's the most loaded one, is do you regret it? And I'm going to be honest, the answer is I don't know. I think I'm a very firm believer. I try not to live with any regrets because I'm a very firm believer in everything happens for a reason. And I think that university is such a life-altering experience that if you choose to go and if you choose not to go, it completely changes the trajectory of your life. Like, it's like, oh my gosh, has anyone seen the film Sliding Doors with Gwyneth Paltrow? Oh, it's like that. But oh my gosh. So I watched Sliding Doors for the first time when I was 15. And guys, I'm not even joking. The actor in Sliding Doors looks identical to my dad. Like, literally his doppelganger. It is the freakiest thing. Because I remember when I saw it on TV, I was so confused. Like, for a second, I fully thought it was my dad. And then, oh my God, guys, and then I was 15 and there was a sex scene and I actually felt so traumatized because the man looked just like my dad. Anyway, sorry, I went on a tangent, but university changed the trajectory of your life. So if I sit there and think I regret not going, I also think about the way my life could have changed if I didn't go. Like, would I be doing YouTube as a career right now? Would I have met the friends that I've met? Would I have met my boyfriend? Would I be living in this city, you know? Like, I always think about things like that and the fact that if I had chosen to go, my life could be very, very different. So I try not to sort of, what's the word? Like, focus on it too much, dwindle on it too much. There's a word for it, but I can't remember. I try not to think about it too much. But also, there are sort of a few cons of not going. First of all, this is very petty, pain in the fucking ass to get a credit card, you guys. I tried to get a credit card and because I've never borrowed money before, like no student loan, anything like that, they wouldn't let me. And then I tried to get a brand new MacBook on finance for like 90 quid a month. And despite me, you know, reaching the earning requirements, because I've never borrowed any money before, they wouldn't let me take out the finance, which was a very, very upsetting day for me because I'd waited like nearly a month for this laptop to come into stock. But anyways, there are other things. Like, I do feel academically, and I don't know whether it's my imposter syndrome talking, but I do feel academically a little bit further back than my peers. You know, even though I do my video essays, which is always a very educational process. I also don't really know how to write formal essays. I don't really know how to source. I really struggle with reading. Don't know whether you learn this in uni, but oh my gosh, I have no idea how to write a formal email. Like, how do I do that? Can you say hi? Do you say to whom this may concern? Do I put kisses? Can I put a smiley face? Is that appropriate? So, but yeah, no, on like a sort of a deeper note, I guess, whether I regret it is such a difficult question for me to answer. Because again, as I said earlier, I try not to live life with regrets because my life would be very, very different if I hadn't have gone. And I'm so, so happy with my life now. But also, I think that my regret with not going, maybe boils down to the fact that between the ages of 18 and 21 was just a very sort of sad time in my life. Like, not to sort of finish this video on a sad note or anything, but I feel like 18 to 21, it's your university years. You're meant to have like the most fun ever. You're meant to go out all the time. And I didn't do that. I was quite mentally ill. So it's not really my fault. I suffered really, really badly with anxiety. But because of this, I did not live my life to the fullest, like at all. I never used to go out. I never used to go on nights out. I literally just would go to work and then I'd go home, work home, just on a constant loop. And I would just sort of shut myself in my bedroom and my house. And I wouldn't like to leave for days. And, you know, there was one point where I didn't leave my house for like an entire week because my anxiety was so bad. And even though, you know, it's not my fault I had a mental illness, I just feel a little bit sad for my younger self sometimes because I feel like she missed out on such a big part of their life. And, you know, even though it's not my fault, a part of me wishes, you know, maybe I should have been more proactive. Maybe I should have tried a bit more. And I think the thing which makes it like worse for me is when I hear other people talking about their experience at university and how much they loved it and how it was the best years of their life, how 18 to 21 was literally like they've never had so much fun. And especially because my boyfriend will tell me stories about how when he went to uni, and I just get really, really sad because I, you know, even though I had a mental illness and it's not my fault and it's not anyone's fault if they have a mental illness, I feel like I wasted my young years and I'm never going to get them back. And, you know, it's not like I blame anyone for it, and I don't want it to sound like this part of my life was absolutely awful. There were a few people in my life at this time who I loved, but it was just a really, really hard time. And I am never, ever going to get those years back. And, you know, my younger self, she deserved to have fun. And of course, some of it was down to mental illness, but I think a lot of it was down to maybe the fact that I thought I didn't deserve to have fun. That, you know, it sort of boils down to anxiety, but, you know, if I went out, people would laugh at me and I'd make a fool of myself. And I just get really, really sad because I'm having so much fun in my life now. Of course, I still struggle with like my mental health and stuff, and that's always going to be a factor in my life, which, you know, of course it can improve, but it's never really fully going to go away. I just feel really sad because I think about this sort of 20-year-old girl who used to, you know, sit in her bedroom and cry. And I just feel really sad. I just wish that I'd lived my life to the fullest. I really, really wish that I had, because, you know, I'm never going to get that time back. So the answer of do I regret not going, I'd probably say no, because I think I would have struggled. Because, you know, as much as I think about how fun the nights out would have been, how fun making all these friends would be, I also think about the fact that I really struggled in an education setting. I really was struggling socially anyways with my anxiety. I think it probably would have done more harm than good. And I think maybe my sort of thoughts and feelings about regretting going probably relates more to the fact that I regret not living my life to the fullest and not being more sort of proactive in my life. And I don't know whether me thinking that I should be more proactive is maybe a reflection on the fact that I can be a little bit harsh on myself and my mental health. Like at the end of the day, I had a mental illness. It wasn't my fault. But also, there were times where I was feeling better and I still didn't go out and do anything and I still wasn't proactive. So I think that my regret going to uni links more to the fact that I regret not living my life and holding myself back so much. Sorry, I feel like this has gotten really emotional and really deep, and I feel like I was repeating myself for the last like 5 minutes. But I do just want to stress you guys, like, if you can, live your fucking life to the fullest, because you're never gonna get these years back, ever. But yeah, I hope that you guys enjoyed this first episode back. Hopefully all of the file hasn't corrupted on this one. If it has, I'm going to take it as my sign that I should not come back to podcasting. And I will see you soon for a next episode on Tuesday. Bye!